We start things off this week with a look at the variety of issues in New Jersey which were impacted and influenced by the political, educational, and judicial systems this past week. They include healthcare, school security, and, well, guess what, even wineries. Here to discuss all this is the Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 24th District, Alice McCose. How are you this week?
Good morning. Doing well, thanks.
Well, let's start off with a national decision that in one direct way and one maybe non-direct way influences or could influence impact healthcare in New Jersey. Federal Appeals Court ruled this week rejecting most subsidies given to consumers to purchase health insurance under Obamacare, and that does apply to New Jersey because if this is upheld, the New Jersey is based under a federal exchange, which the proponents and the names in this case that was decided on by a 2-1 majority, which is going to be reviewed now by a full appellate court, said that a Obamacare subsidy, it's not mentioned in the law as something that the federal can do. It's only that the state can do, and if the state doesn't do it, then the people in the state don't get it.
Yeah, this was quite controversial when Obamacare first came out, and you know, there was confusion and people didn't understand, should the state make an exchange, should we not, should we wait for the federal? I mean, it was, should we do it in advance of knowing what the federal exchange is even going to be about? So, and, you know, fast forward and here we are, the implementation stage has also been difficult.
Just for the numbers too, why this is more in New Jersey, surprisingly, 162,000 consumers actually got into Obamacare, at least to this point. Of that 136,000, which is about 84%, who bought policies through the federal exchange qualified for a subsidy, which defrays the cost. They call it the sticker price for monthly premium. Average was $465. Average subsidy, $317. So that makes the average cost to the consumer in New Jersey $148 a month. But if this ruling does stand, then everyone's going to be in that $465 a month ballpark.
Mm.
There's other legal challenges too. Nothing changes short term, at least here in New Jersey. Does this just demonstrate the weak foundation that this law was constructed on, and how you can't construct a multiple thousand page law with any sort of detail, and you have to have someone like Harry Reid stand up and say, "Well, we know what it says, but here's what it meant."
Right, and again, you know, from the beginning, the confusion and the questions over what are the state's responsibility with regard to this, and you know, never, I don't think in our history of our country have we ever had a federal initiative like this. And you know, all along, I've called it an unfunded mandate in a big way. So, you know, again, like I said, here we are once again trying to sort through what is Obamacare.
Now, in tandem with that, in New Jersey, there are laws that broaden access to health care for people and employees or small businesses, regardless of any age or medical history. And there was a bill that passed unanimously through the Assembly, 79-0. It's now in the State Senate, S-2220. It encourages small and mid-sized employers to band together into self-insured pools to provide employee health coverage. It's called a multiple employer welfare arrangement, and it would lower premiums and help small businesses do something against the rising cost of health coverage in the state. The opponents of this are saying because there's an element where private investors can fund these premiums, or in effect, much like you see with exchanges in Wall Street and commodities, you can invest in oil, and some say that's what artificially controls prices. People could be making profits off of this element too, and that raises concern with some people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, this, as you see, 79-0 meant that it was unanimously passed in the Assembly. The concept of the bill seems fine. It encourages businesses, as you said, to pool together to reduce costs ultimately for them and their employees. The problem is, like you suggested, that, you know, if this can become sort of not a pyramid scheme, but, you know, a money-making entity for someone or some organization, that's not a good thing. But I think ultimately the intent of the legislation is good.
And for whatever reason, whatever miracle, whatever you want to call it, whenever you talk about politics, the name George E. Norcross just happens to appear. And, well, damn the coincidences, this bill was pushed by an organization called Connor Strong & Booker Lou, which is a South Jersey insurance brokerage owned by Democratic boss George Norcross.
I don't think they told us that as we voted on it. But
And that's also, again, raising concern that why this appears more geared toward private interests than the consumers, because George Norcross has his narrow focus, as do his allies. We're talking with Assemblywoman Allison McHose here on Issues and Ideas. AllisonMcHose.com on the web, and the State House is njledge.state.nj.us. The shooting of the Jersey City police officer, which for whatever perverted reason also led to a street shrine to his assassin, who fortunately was killed as well by other officers, has led to Assemblyman Ronald Dance, Republican, call for the return of the death penalty in New Jersey. He's apparently just specifically talking about cop killers, at least at this point. Mm-hmm. And, of course, death penalty was repealed in 2007 under former Governor John Corzine. Do you think this is something that could take a fast track once everyone comes back from their summer vacation in September?
I think certainly this case has raised a lot of attention, and clearly we will definitely, I would say, consider this. I really think that, I want to praise Mayor Phillip for removing the shrine to the murderer. I think that was something that happened very quickly. I also want to make mention to there's a local group of people that are putting together a scholarship fund in the name of the officer in Jersey City. And, it's really, really hit home for a lot of folks. And the talk of, the gang violence and things, targeting of police officers, it's just horrible. So I think that Ron Dancer is definitely well-intentioned in his attempt to bring back the death penalty, especially for cop killers.
And you mentioned gang violence. That is one of the underlying catalysts for an idea that's now come to pass at High Point Regional High School in Sussex County. They've adopted a new security policy that will allow up to 2 armed security officers to patrol the school hallway starting this September. One of the underlying factors of schools in Wantage, near a state police barracks, is in Augusta, and that's nearly 8 miles away. So obviously this would provide, should something start to happen that's danger to the student body and to the teachers, a faster response time to at least hold things steady until the police can arrive.
Yeah. This, for some was troublesome that they would have to do this. However, I think there's been a lot of support in the community for it. Wantage, as everyone knows, does not have their own police force. They rely on the state police. And sometimes, although they're closer than others to the Augusta barracks, certainly response time is important. So I think also it will send a message to the students that, with the security present, I hope that it'll be a positive and kids will understand that, if they're there, we're not going to try to get away with anything. So I think it can be a positive, and I hope that it will be.
This is something we talked with Superintendent Ripley about a few weeks ago, and just to remind you what the staffing idea is, High Point now has 1 resource officer, who's a retired state police trooper who's not armed while on duty. Mm-hmm. The expectation is to hire 2 retired state troopers to act as the armed security officers, mm-hmm. and High Point is a sending district. They have about 1,100 students, grades 9 through 12, from Branchville, Frankfort, Lafayette, Sussex Borough, and Wantage. Let us wrap up with a bill that was co-sponsored by yourself and Assemblyman Dancer, A-1272, and the Senate was S-837. And it's basically empowering the state wineries to, expand their business, hold events, and surprisingly do things that many people probably assumed did not realize they were limited from doing.
Right. This bill would allow special events to be held on the property of a winery. This also impacts lands that are preserved, and this is a positive way to help farmers and the ag community to better utilize their properties. So it's a win-win all around for the economy and also to bring people to New Jersey.
And allows wineries to generate income directly related to the business above and beyond just their traditional product production and sales.
Mm-hmm.
So for special events, private party, this really does open just a simple matter of designating a part of their land for doing things like this. So, yes. Again, that's A-1272 in the Assembly and S-837 in the State Senate, which you can look up and read in their entirety at the state website, which is njledge.state.nj.us. And to share your thoughts on what we spoke about here and to bring something to her attention you think is important, you can do that at AllisonMcCose.com. She is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Alice McCose. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, and have a wonderful Sunday.